Chapter 2. They had to sleep under a large tree that night. The Tin Man chopped some wood, and Dorothy built a fire. She and Toto ate the last piece of their bread, so they had none left for breakfast. "I can go into the forest and kill an animal for you," said the Cowardly Lion. "You can cook it and eat it for breakfast."
"No, please don't," said the Tin Man. "I will cry if you kill an animal."
The lion did not answer. He went away into the forest and found his own food. The scarecrow found a nut tree and picked some nuts. He filled Dorothy's basket with them so she would have them for breakfast. Dorothy was very happy. She and Toto lay by the fire and had a good night's sleep. When she woke up, Dorothy washed her face and had her breakfast of nuts. Soon the group started on their way toward the Emerald City. It was a day full of adventure for the travelers. After an hour, they came to a great ditch that divided the forest. It was very wide and impossible to cross. They looked into it and saw that it was also very deep. There were many big rocks at the bottom.
"We can't jump across or climb down," said Dorothy. "What can we do?"
"We can't do anything," said the Scarecrow. "We have to stop here."
"I think I can jump over it," said the Cowardly Lion. "I can carry you all on my back. Who will go first?"
"I will," said the Scarecrow. "If Dorothy falls, she will be badly hurt. If the Tin Man falls, he will be badly hurt too. But if I fall, the rocks won't hurt me."
"I am very afraid of falling," said the Cowardly Lion. "But I have to try it. Get on my back."
The Scarecrow climbed on the lion's back. The big animal walked to the edge of the ditch. Then he did a great jump and landed safely on the other side. They were all happy to see this. The lion jumped back to the other side. Dorothy took Toto in her arms and climbed on the lion's back. Then the lion jumped again, and they were safe on the other side. The lion went back one last time and came back with the Tin Man. He was exhausted. After resting for a while, they started on their way along the yellow brick road. The forest was thick and dark now. They could hear strange noises coming from the forest. "The Kalidahs live in this part of the country," said the Cowardly Lion. "They are giant animals with bodies like bears and heads like tigers. They have long and sharp claws. They could easily kill me. I'm very afraid of them." Suddenly, they came to another ditch, but this one was too wide and deep for the lion to jump across. So they sat down to think.
"Look," said the Scarecrow at last. "Here is a tall tree next to the ditch. If the Tin Man can cut it down, it will fall to the other side like a bridge. Then we can walk across it easily."
"That's a great idea," said the lion. "Perhaps you have a brain in your head instead of straw."
The Tin Man began working with his axe. After he cut most of the tree, he asked the lion to push it. So the animal pushed the big tree with his strong legs, and it fell across the ditch. Now they had a strange bridge that they could cross. They were about to start walking on this bridge when they heard a loud roar. They looked up and saw two great animals with bodies like bears and heads like tigers. They were running toward them.
"The Kalidahs," said the Cowardly Lion.
"Quick," cried the Scarecrow. "Let's cross over."
Dorothy went first, holding Toto in her arms. The Tin Man followed her. Then came the Scarecrow. Although the lion was afraid, he turned to the Kalidahs and gave a big, loud roar. The Kalidahs stopped running and looked at him in surprise. After a moment, they started running again. The lion quickly crossed over the tree. When he turned to look at the Kalidahs, he saw that they were on the tree, coming after them.
"Oh no," said the lion.
They will catch us and eat us, but I will fight them until I die.
Wait, said the Scarecrow. He had a good idea. Cut the end of the tree on this side, he said to the Tin Man. The Tin Man picked up his axe and started cutting. Before the Kalidas could reach them, the tree fell with a crash into the ditch, taking the terrible animals with it. The Cowardly Lion took a deep breath.
Well, he said, we are alive. I was very afraid. My heart is still beating fast.
I wish I had a heart, said the Tin Man sadly. This adventure had made the travelers very worried. They wanted to get out of the forest as soon as possible, so they walked fast, but Dorothy was tired. She had to ride on the lion's back. In the afternoon, the trees became thinner, and soon the yellow brick road led them to a wide river. On the other side of the water, they could see green fields that were covered with flowers. The yellow brick road went on through this beautiful country.
We must cross this river, said Dorothy.
But how?
Easy, said the Scarecrow. The Tin Man can make a raft.
Then we can float across the river.
So, the Tin Man began to work. He chopped down some small trees to build a raft. He worked hard, but it was a difficult job. Nighttime came and he was still working. So, they had to find a place to sleep under the trees. Next morning, the travelers were happy and full of hope. They thought about the lovely, sunny country they were going to. The Tin Man worked on the raft, and soon it was ready. Dorothy sat down in the middle part and held Toto in her arms. The Cowardly Lion stood on one end of the raft, and the Scarecrow and the Tin Man stood on the other end. They had long poles in their hands to push the raft through the water. At first, things were all right. But then they reached the middle of the river, where the water was moving very fast. It carried their raft farther away from the yellow brick road. The water was very deep, so they could not control the raft with their poles.
This is bad, said the Tin Man. The river will carry us into the country of the Wicked Witch of the West. If she catches us, she will make us her slaves.
Then I will never get a brain, said the Scarecrow.
And I will never get courage, said the Cowardly Lion.
And I will never get a heart, said the Tin Man.
And I will never get back to Kansas, said Dorothy.
We must get to the Emerald City, said the Scarecrow. He pushed hard on his pole, but it got stuck in the mud at the bottom of the river. As he tried to pull it out, the raft moved away and the poor Scarecrow was left holding his pole in the middle of the river.
Goodbye, he shouted to his friends as the raft moved away. They were very sorry to leave him. The Tin Man began to cry, but then he stopped. He did not want to rust. The Scarecrow thought to himself, when I first met Dorothy, I was on a pole in a cornfield. I could at least scare the crows. Now I am stuck on a pole in the middle of a river, but I am of no use. I will never have a brain. The raft floated on the river. The poor Scarecrow was left far behind. I think I can do something to save us, said the lion at last. I can swim to the shore. If you can hold on to my tail, I can pull the raft. He jumped into the water, and the Tin Man held onto his tail. The lion began to swim toward the shore with all his strength. It was hard work. Dorothy took the Tin Man's pole and helped push the raft to the land. Finally, they reached the shore. They were all exhausted, so they sat on the grass. They were now far away from the yellow brick road.
We must find a way to get back to the road, said Dorothy.
If we walk along the riverbank, we can reach the road again, said the lion. When they were rested, they got up and started walking along the grassy bank. It was a lovely, sunny country with flowers and fruit trees. They were almost happy, but when they thought about the poor Scarecrow, they felt sad. They walked as fast as they could for some time. Then suddenly, the Tin Man cried out, "Look!" They all looked at the river and saw the Scarecrow in the middle of the water. He looked very lonely and sad. "What can we do to save him?" asked Dorothy. The Lion and the Tin Man shook their heads. They did not know how to help the Scarecrow. At that moment, a stork flew by and stopped to rest at the edge of the water. "Who are you and where are you going?" asked the stork. "I am Dorothy," said the girl. "These are my friends, the Tin Man and the Cowardly Lion. We are going to the Emerald City."
"This road does not go to the Emerald City," said the stork. She twisted her long neck and looked at the strange group of travelers.
"I know," said Dorothy. "Our friend the Scarecrow is in the river over there. We have to save him, but we can't get to him. If he wasn't so big and heavy, I could carry him to you," said the stork.
"He isn't heavy at all because he is made of straw," said Dorothy. "If you bring him back to us, we will be thankful."
"Well, I'll try," said the stork. So the big bird flew over the water. Then she picked up the Scarecrow with her big claws and carried him up into the air and back to the riverbank. The Scarecrow was very happy to be back with his friends. He hugged them all. He even hugged the Lion and Toto.
"Thank you very much," he said to the stork. "I thought I was going to stay in the river forever, but you saved me. If I ever get a brain, I will come back here and help you too."
"That's all right," said the stork. "I always like to help anyone in trouble. I hope you will find the Emerald City. I must go now."
"Thank you," said Dorothy.
The kind stork flew into the air and was soon gone. The friends walked along. They listened to the songs of the brightly colored birds and looked at the lovely flowers. The ground was covered with colorful flowers and bright red poppies.
"Aren't they beautiful?" asked Dorothy.
"And they have a wonderful smell.
When I get a brain, I will probably like them more," said the Scarecrow.
"If I get a heart, I will love them," said the Tin Man.
"I have always liked flowers," said the Lion.
"But these flowers are more beautiful than the ones in the forest." There were now more and more of the big red poppies and fewer of the other flowers. The poppies had a very strong scent. Dorothy did not know that it was poisonous. The scent put you to sleep, and if you stayed there, you would sleep forever. Dorothy was in the middle of the poppy field now. Soon she began to feel sleepy.
"I am tired," she said. "I want to sit down and sleep."
"No, you can't sleep here," said the Tin Man. "We must hurry and get back to the yellow brick road before dark."
The Scarecrow agreed with him, so they kept walking. But Dorothy could not stand any longer. She closed her eyes and fell asleep in the middle of the poppy field.
"What shall we do?" asked the Tin Man.
"If we leave her here, she will never wake up," said the Lion.
"I am very sleepy too, and the dog is asleep already."
Toto was lying asleep beside Dorothy. But the Scarecrow and the Tin Man were not made of flesh, so they were not in danger.
"Run fast," said the Scarecrow to the Lion. "Get out of this poisonous poppy field. We will carry Dorothy and Toto out of here, but you are too big to carry."
So the Lion began to run as fast as he could. The Scarecrow and the Tin Man carried the girl and the dog through the flowers. They walked on by the river, but the poppy field seemed endless. Then they found the Lion, who was fast asleep. He had fallen asleep before he could reach the end of the poppy field.
"We can't help him," said the Tin Man sadly. "He is too heavy for us. He will sleep here forever."
"I'm sorry," said the Scarecrow. "He was a very good friend." They carried Dorothy and Toto out of the poppy field and put them on the soft grass. They waited for the fresh air to wake them up. Then they heard a roar.
they turned their heads and saw a strange animal running toward them. It was a great yellow wildcat, which was running after a little gray field mouse. The Tin Man did not have a heart, but he knew that it was wrong for the wildcat to try to kill such a harmless little creature. So, the Tin Man picked up his axe, and as the wildcat ran by, he killed it. The field mouse stopped and came slowly up to the Tin Man.
"Thank you for saving my life," said the mouse.
"Don't mention it," said the Tin Man.
"I am the queen of field mice," said the mouse.
At that moment, several mice ran up and bowed.
"Oh, your majesty, how did you escape the great wildcat?" they asked.
"This Tin Man killed him," she answered. "You must do whatever he wishes now."
"We will," cried the mice.
"Is there anything we can do for you?" one of the mice asked.
"I can't think of anything," said the Tin Man.
The Scarecrow was thinking.
"Oh, yes," he said. "You can save our friend the Cowardly Lion, who is asleep in the poppy field. Don't worry, he won't harm you. He is a coward, and he would not hurt our friends. If you help us to save him, he will be kind to you."
"All right," said the queen, "but what can we do?"
"Tell all of the mice to come here as soon as possible," said the Scarecrow. "Tell them to bring a piece of string."
As the queen gave orders to her mice, the Scarecrow turned to the Tin Man.
"You must cut down those trees by the riverside," he said,
"and you must make a truck that will carry the lion." The Tin Man began to work. He built a wooden truck with four wheels. It was ready when the mice arrived. The mice came from all directions, and there were thousands of them. Each mouse had a piece of string in his mouth. At that moment, Dorothy woke up from her long sleep. She was very surprised to find herself on the ground with thousands of mice looking at her. The Scarecrow told her everything and introduced her to the Queen Mouse. The Scarecrow and the Tin Man began to work. They tied one end of each string to the truck and the other end to the mouse's neck. Now the mice could pull the truck easily. So, together, they pulled the truck to the poppy field where the lion was sleeping. The lion was heavy. After a lot of hard work, the Scarecrow and the Tin Man put him up on the truck. The mice had to be quick because they could fall asleep in the poppy field too. The little mice could not move the heavy truck at all, so the Tin Man and the Scarecrow pushed it from behind. Soon the truck started moving. Slowly they reached the green fields and the fresh air. They removed the strings from the necks of the mice. Dorothy came and thanked them for saving her friend from death. The mice ran back home, only the queen stayed. She gave Dorothy a whistle.
"Take this whistle," she said. "If you need us again, come out into the field and blow it. We will hear it and come for help. Goodbye."
"Goodbye," they all said. The queen ran away. The friends sat down and waited for the lion to wake up. The cowardly lion slept for a long time. When he woke up, he was happy that he was alive. He sat up and yawned.
"I ran as fast as I could," he said, "but the flowers were too strong for me. How did you get me out of the field?"
His friends told him about the field mice and how they had saved him. The cowardly lion laughed. "I have always thought I was very big and strong, but little flowers nearly killed me, and little mice saved my life. It is very strange. What will we do now, my friends?"
"We must find the yellow brick road," said Dorothy.
So they started on the journey again. It was a nice walk through the soft, fresh grass. Soon they reached the yellow brick road. The road was smooth and nice now. The travelers were happy to see that the dark and dangerous forest had ended. They could see pretty houses and farms on both sides of the road. The houses were painted green. Sometimes people came to the doors and looked at them. They wore green clothes,
They did not speak because they were afraid of the lion.
This must be the land of Oz, said Dorothy. We must be near the Emerald City.
Yes, said the Scarecrow. Everything is green here. In the country of the Munchkins, blue was the favorite color. Here the people are not as friendly as the Munchkins. It will be difficult to find a place to stay tonight.
I am hungry, said the girl. Let's stop at the next house and talk to the people.
When they came to a farmhouse, Dorothy walked to the door and knocked. A woman opened it and looked out.
What do you want, child? She asked. And why is there a great lion with you?
The lion is my friend, said Dorothy. Don't worry, he won't hurt you. This is Scarecrow, and this is Tin Man.
We are looking for a place to pass the night. Can we stay with you?
Well, come in, said the woman after thinking it over. I will give you some supper and a place to sleep.
They all entered the house. There was a man and two children. The woman began preparing the table.
Where are you all going? Asked the man.
To the Emerald City, said Dorothy, to see the Great Oz.
Are you sure that Oz will see you? Asked the man.
They say that he never lets anyone see him.
I have been to the Emerald City many times, but I have never seen the Great Oz.
Doesn't he ever go out? Asked the Scarecrow.
Never, he stays in his palace every day.
What does he look like? Asked the girl.
That is a difficult question, said the man. Oz is a great wizard, so he can change himself by magic. Some people say that he looks like a bird, some say that he looks like an elephant, some say that he looks like a cat, but no one knows what he really looks like.
That is very strange, said Dorothy, but we must find a way to see him.
Why do you wish to see the terrible Oz? Asked the man.
I want him to give me a brain, said the Scarecrow.
Oh, Oz could do that easily, said the man. He has many brains.
And I want him to give me a heart, said the Tin Man.
That will be easy for him, said the man. Oz has a large collection of hearts.
And I want him to give me courage, said the Cowardly Lion.
Oz has a great pot of courage, said the man. He will be happy to give you some.
And I want him to send me and Toto back to Kansas, said Dorothy.
Where is Kansas? Asked the man with surprise.
I don't know, said Dorothy.
It is my home.
Well, Oz can do anything. He will find Kansas for you. But first you must see him, and that will be difficult.
The woman served supper. They all sat around the table. Dorothy, Toto, and the lion ate. The Scarecrow and the Tin Man did not eat anything.
Then the woman gave Dorothy a bed to sleep in. Toto lay down beside her. The lion slept by the door. The Scarecrow and the Tin Man stood up in a corner and kept quiet all night. The next morning, they thanked the woman and the man and started on their way. It was a beautiful morning. Soon they saw a beautiful green light in the sky ahead.
That must be the Emerald City, said Dorothy.
They walked on, and the green light became brighter and brighter. In the afternoon, they finally arrived at a very high green wall. This was the wall that surrounded the city. In front of them, there was a big gate which was covered with emeralds that glittered in the sun. Dorothy rang the bell beside the gate. The big gate slowly opened, and they walked into a big room with high ceilings. The walls were covered with emeralds. There was a little man in the middle of the room. He was the same size as the Munchkins. He was wearing green clothes. Even his skin was a greenish color.
"Can I help you?" he asked.
"We came here to see the Great Oz," said Dorothy. The man was surprised to hear this.
"No one has asked to see Oz for many years," he said. "He is powerful and terrible. If you are here to waste his time,
He may get very angry and kill you.
No, we are not here to waste his time, said the Scarecrow. It is important. We heard that Oz is a good wizard.
Yes, he is, said the Green Man. But he is terrible to people who are not honest.
I am the guardian of the gate. I will take you to his palace.
He took a big golden key and opened a big door.
This was the door to the Emerald City.
The Emerald City shone brightly. It was a wonderful city. The friends walked through the streets and saw the beautiful houses made of green marble that were covered with green emeralds. The pavement was made of green marble and was covered with emeralds too. Everything in the city was green. There were many people, and they were all dressed in green clothes and had greenish skins. They looked at Dorothy and her strange group of friends. No one spoke to them. There were many shops, and everything in them was green. Dorothy saw green candy, green popcorn, green shoes, and green clothes for sale. People used green coins to pay for them. There were no horses or animals. The men carried things in little green carts. Everyone looked happy. At last, they came to a big building in the middle of the city. The guardian of the gates told them it was the Palace of Oz. At the door, there was a soldier who was wearing a green uniform and had a long green beard.
These strangers want to see the Great Oz, said the guardian of the gates to the soldier.
Come with me, said the soldier. They passed through the door and went inside. They were in a big room with a green carpet and green furniture.
Please wait here, said the soldier politely. I will go to the throne room and tell Oz you are here.
So they sat down and waited. They waited for a long time. The soldier finally came back.
Did you see Oz? Asked Dorothy.
Oh no, said the soldier. I have never seen him. I spoke to him behind a screen and I told him about you. He will speak to each one of you alone, and he will speak to only one of you every day. You must stay in the palace for several days. You will have your own rooms.
Thank you, said Dorothy. That is very kind of Oz.
Then a young girl entered the room. She was dressed in green and had beautiful green hair and green eyes.
Please follow me, and I will show you your room, she said.
Dorothy said goodbye to her friends. She picked up Toto and followed the green girl through the palace. They came to a pretty room. It had a comfortable bed covered with green sheets. There were beautiful green flowers in the windows, and there was a bookshelf with little green books. Dorothy found many green dresses in the wardrobe.
Make yourself at home, said the green girl. If you need anything, ring the bell. Oz will send for you tomorrow morning.
Dorothy had a good night's sleep. In the morning, after breakfast, she washed and put on a green silk dress. Then she tied a green ribbon around Toto's neck. They were ready to see the Great Oz. After breakfast, the green girl came to take Dorothy to see Oz. They came to a great hall. Dorothy saw the green soldier.
Will he see me? She asked.
He does not usually see people, said the soldier.
When I told him about you, he was angry. Then I told him about your silver shoes, and he was interested. Then I told him about the mark on your forehead, and he decided to see you.
Then a bell rang, and the green girl said,
You can go into the throne room now, but you must go alone.
She opened a little door and Dorothy walked through. It was a wonderful place. The throne room was big, round and high. The walls, the ceiling and the floor were covered with large emeralds. Dorothy saw the big throne in the middle of the room. It was a green chair and was covered in emeralds. On the throne, there was a huge head without a body. The head had no hair, but it had eyes, a nose and a mouth. Dorothy looked at the head. The eyes turned and looked at her. Then the mouth moved.
"I am Oz, the great and terrible," the head said. "Who are you and why are you here?"
"I am Dorothy," the girl said. "I have come to you for help."
The eyes looked at her thoughtfully.
"Where did you get the silver shoes?" Oz asked.
"I got them from the Wicked Witch of the East when my house fell on her and killed her," she replied.
"Where did you get the mark on your forehead?" Oz asked.
"The Good Witch of the North kissed me. Then she sent me to you," said the girl.
"What do you want me to do?"
"Send me back to Kansas. My Aunt Em and Uncle Henry are there," she answered.
The eyes turned up to the ceiling and down to the floor and rolled around. At last they looked at Dorothy again.
"Why should I do this for you?" asked Oz.
"Because you are strong and I am weak. Because you are a great wizard and I am only a little girl."
"But you were strong enough to kill the Wicked Witch of the East," said Oz.
"That was a mistake," said Dorothy.
"Well," said Oz, "if you want me to help you, you must do something for me. Help me, and I will help you."
"What do you want me to do?" asked the girl.
"Kill the Wicked Witch of the West," answered Oz.
"But I cannot do that," exclaimed Dorothy.
"You killed the Witch of the East, and you are wearing the silver shoes. When you kill the Wicked Witch of the West, I will send you back to Kansas."
The little girl began to cry. She was very disappointed.
"I don't want to kill her," she said. "How could I kill the Wicked Witch? You are Oz, the great and terrible. Why don't you kill her yourself?"
"That is my answer," said Oz. "If you don't kill her, you will never see your uncle and aunt again. Now go."
Dorothy was sad. She left the throne room and went back to her friends. She told them about the head and about what he had said.
"There is no hope for me," she said sadly. "I will never go back to Kansas because I cannot kill the Wicked Witch of the West."
Her friends were sorry, but they could not help her. Dorothy went to her room and lay down on the bed and cried herself to sleep. The next morning, the green soldier came to the Scarecrow.
"Come with me," he said. "Oz will see you."
The Scarecrow was expecting a huge head with no body and no hair. But when he went into the throne room, he saw a beautiful lady sitting on the throne. She had a beautiful green silk dress and green hair covered in emeralds. She had two wings on her shoulders. The beautiful lady looked at him.
"I am Oz, the great and terrible," she said. "Who are you and why are you here?"
The Scarecrow was surprised.
"I am a scarecrow," he said. "I am stuffed with straw. I don't have a brain, and I would like you to put a brain in my head."
"Why should I do this for you?" asked the lady.
"Because you are wise and powerful, and only you can help me," answered the Scarecrow.
"I will help you if you do something for me," said Oz.
"If you kill the Wicked Witch of the West, I will give you a brain. You will become the smartest man in all the land of Oz."
"But you asked Dorothy to kill the witch," said the Scarecrow.
"Yes, I don't care who kills the witch," said Oz. "If you don't kill her, you will never have a brain. Now go."
The Scarecrow was sad. He went back to his friends and told them everything. The next morning, the green soldier came to the Tin Man.
"Come with me," he said. "Oz will see you."
The Tin Man did not know what Oz would look like. Was he going to be a huge head or a lovely lady? When he entered the throne room, he saw that Oz was a frightening animal this time. He was the size of an elephant, and he had the head of a rhinoceros, 5 eyes, 5 long arms, and 5 long legs. His body was covered in thick woolly hair. The Tin Man was not afraid.
but he was disappointed.
"I am Oz, the Great and Terrible," said the animal. "Who are you, and why are you here?"
"I am a woodman, and I am made of tin," the tin man said. "I have no heart, and I cannot love. I would like you to give me a heart."
"Why should I do this for you?" asked the animal.
"Because only you can help me," said the tin man.
"If you want a heart, you must earn it," said Oz.
"You must kill the Wicked Witch of the West. When the witch is dead, I will give you the biggest, kindest, and the most loving heart in the Land of Oz."
The tin man was sad. He returned to his friends and told them what Oz had said. They talked about Oz's many shapes.
"If he is an animal when I go to see him, I will roar," said the lion. "If he is the lovely lady, I will pretend to attack her. And if he is the huge head, I will roll it around the room."
The next morning, the green soldier brought the lion to the great throne room. The lion had a big surprise. This time, Oz was a great ball of fire, very hot and bright. When the lion tried to go near him, he almost caught fire. He was very afraid and started shaking. A low, quiet voice came from the ball of fire.
"I am Oz, the Great and Terrible," it said. "Who are you and why are you here?"
"I am a cowardly lion," the lion said. "I am afraid of everything. I came to ask you to give me courage. I want to become the king of animals."
"Why should I do this for you?" asked Oz.
"Because you are the greatest of all wizards, and only you can help me," answered the lion. "When the Wicked Witch is dead, I will give you courage."
The lion was angry but could say nothing. The ball of fire became hotter and hotter. The lion had to run out of the room. He went back to his friends and told them everything.
"What can we do now?" asked Dorothy sadly.
"There is only one thing we can do," said the lion. "We have to go to the Land of the Winkies, find the Wicked Witch and destroy her."
"But what if we cannot?" asked the girl.
"Then I will never have courage," said the lion.
"And I will never have a brain," said the scarecrow. "And I will never have a heart," said the tin man.
"And I will never see Aunt Em and Uncle Henry," said Dorothy, beginning to cry.
"We must try to find the witch, but I don't want to kill anybody."
"I will go with you," said the lion. "But I'm a coward."
"I will go too," said the scarecrow. "But I don't have a brain."
"I will go with you too," said the tin man. "But I don't have a heart."
So, they decided to start on their journey the next morning. The tin man sharpened his axe and had all his joints oiled. The scarecrow stuffed himself with fresh straw, and Dorothy put new paint on his eyes so that he could see better. The green girl filled Dorothy's basket with food and tied a little bell around Toto's neck.